Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. I couldn't make up his voice. I was going to try to impersonate Pastor Al, but this is not Pastor Al. He is out today, and this is Brother John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood, and I have the privilege to sit in for Pastor Al today. He's recuperating a little bit, getting ready for the Friday night Bible study there at the Holiday Inn Express on Brecksville Road, and they'll be meeting there tonight at 7 p.m., and so I know he would love for you to come on out and be a part of that. He'll be doing it actually virtually, but I know he'll be excited to have you guys all there with that. So hopefully you were with us for the last half hour. We spent a little time, dove in a little bit with the talking about the Declaration of Independence and where we're headed today, trying to make some sense about this. I want to say this too, just because you experience sorrow, disappointment, and those things. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing that has happened this week has caused me to stop serving God, stop loving God, stop reading my Bible, stop praying, stop going to church, any of those things. Because you can't allow the events to do that, because the higher calling is our walk with Christ. But the reality is, we are Americans, we do love this country, and we don't want to see it go down a road that is destructive. Now, unless you have your head in the sand, communism, socialism, fascism, whatever you want to call, and whatever you want to implement, always results in the death of people. Always results in that. The accelerated death of people, the mass death of people. That's what it always leads to. I'm not saying we're there, but we know history shows us that's what happens. And it is up to men, God-fearing, liberty-loving men and women to stand up and be willing, as our founders did, to pledge to themselves, each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. By the way, how do you do that? With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. And that is a key. Firm reliance, assurance that God is, whatever happens, is God's plan. Do you remember the three Hebrew boys who were renamed? We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were their Babylonian names, or Chaldean names, I guess. And they were persecuted because they wouldn't bow down to the sacred image of Nebuchadnezzar. And the music played, and, hey, why aren't you going along with the system, man? Huh? Why aren't you just going along with everything? I mean, you guys are troublemakers because, you know, everybody's doing it. Why aren't you? I mean, just get along for the sake of getting along. I mean, just wear it. I mean, just wear that mask. Just go along. Do that, man. I mean, don't you know? Hey, these guys aren't doing it, man. They're not bowing down. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, is this true? Verse 14 of Daniel 3, is it true? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I love Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what they're saying? Let me tell you exactly what they're saying. We have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. That's what they're saying. Look what they say. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. You know, some of you are so disappointed because things didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, and I'm disappointed as well. But does, for some reason, mean God's not going to deliver us? So here's the next three words that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know what that's called? That's called firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. What they said was, here's what we'd love to see happen. We're not bowing down. God's going to deliver us from this furnace. But guess what? If he chooses not to, that's okay. We're not bowing down. And some of you are so worried about being forced to bow down that you're fearful. And so it's immobilizing you instead of standing there and saying, we're not going to do it. We're not going to bow down. You can do whatever you want. I'm not changing my walk with Christ. I'm not changing it. And if that means that I have to go to jail or suffer some other way, then so be it. That's what our founders were saying. We are willing to stand in the place because we are firmly reliant upon the protection of divine providence. And what it means is God's will be accomplished. You know, we hear a lot about the freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. You say our freedom of speech is under attack. I understand it, and I agree. But speech is under attack. You know, we're very understanding. You know, in the beginning of the Declaration of Independence, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, which, by the way, there's more than just these three, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So what is the main purpose of government but to secure the rights, the unalienable rights of every human being? That's their job, to secure their rights. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, what ends? Of securing the people's rights, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem more likely to affect their safety and happiness. Let me ask you a question. So the whole transfer of power that took place this week that we talked about in the last half hour, which is just a mirage, it's just an illusion, because the powers actually belong to the people. Let me ask you, are we more safe today since Wednesday? Are you happier today? Oh, the people who look like they're happy today, oh, you give it a little bit. You're not going to be happy. When your border security has been shut down, when you are stopping to build and you're allowing 11 million people that are on their way up here, I mean, even the other countries, no. Man, we're just going to get up there. We're going to be citizens. You know, I was thinking about this too, by the way. They said 70% of Latinos voted for President Trump in general. 70% of Latinos voted for President Trump in this election. So here's what I suggest. You know, we know most of the people are coming from South America. Of course, we know Central and South America. We know there's some bad people in there as well, and that's a problem, which makes us less safe. But man, these they're going to go to Latino communities. So you in the Latino community who's already here and you voted for Donald Trump and you understand now the principles of liberty and of American liberty and biblical liberty, man, you grab them and start teaching them right away. So then in 2 years from now, man, we've got 11 more million people voting for constitutional liberties than we do for communistic control and rule. Man, wouldn't that be great to start getting them switched over? But anyway, the safetiness and the happiness, that's what, when people are able to exercise their rights, God-given rights, their people are safe and they're happy. You say, well, that's being oppressed. It is. Speech is being persecuted right now. And you say, well, we'll never come to the church. You realize ministry is all about words, right? I mean, our whole ministry is based upon the word of God. And we're ministers of the word of reconciliation. You know, our whole ministry are based upon words. Of course they're going to come after, and they have been for many times coming up after our words. Understandable. But listen to me very clearly. With firm reliance upon the divine protection right? Of the providence of God, of his providence. What you are worried about is not the loss of the freedom of speech, because you never lose the freedom to speak. Let me say that very clearly. What we're concerned about are the consequences that come along with speaking up and speaking out. That's what we're concerned about, because now there are consequences. Let me say this clearly. There have always been consequences to speech. Always. It just used to be if you told a lie, you didn't get elected to the highest office of the land. If you told a lie, you would lose your job. If you told a lie or you stole something or whatever, you did not get benefited from that. But now we call evil good and good evil. You see what I'm saying? We used to punish the evil and reward the good, and now we punish the good and reward the evil. That's where we're living at right now. That's where we're at. I can't emphasize enough to you that you still have free speech. Well, they told me I can't say that. Did God tell you you can't say that? Well, do you know they'll shut my Facebook account down? Yeah, I do. Yeah. So then you might have to go out in the streets and just start proclaiming it in the streets. You might have to go home to home. You know, I remember reading that somewhere in the Bible, says house to house. So maybe we should get back to soul winning, door knocking, talking to people in the streets and going to them and teaching them that they can be liberated through the liberation of Jesus Christ, who is the standard of truth and is truth. And if you know the truth, you shall be made free. You can speak out. In fact, I would say that if you're too scared to use it, you don't understand that it's a God-given right. Governments are instituted to protect those. When they stop doing that, that means we lose the right to do it. No, it's from God. It's absolutely from God. And you need to keep doing it. You need to keep doing it. You need to keep speaking out. And you need to keep exercising that right, because it's self-evident. That's a right. We have a right to do that. Now, there's consequences involved, certainly. Certainly there's consequences. You know, I was thinking about in Peter, where it talks about, you know, submit yourself unto every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And those are perplexing verses, because, you know, you go back and forth like, oh, well, what does it mean? Should I be doing this? But, you know, I think clarification is given in the next few verses. And I think it bears witness with Romans chapter 13. But it says this, as I turn over there. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Say, well, that's why we should just need to go along with everything. We just need to, you know, put your mask on and shut up. Just quit talking about it. Really? Should we really do that? Is that really something we should do? Should we really go along with this? Is that what it means? We just need to acquiesce and do the evil that they're asking us to do? Should we just go along with it? No, the idea here is you're submitting yourself to the Lord, which means you've already determined you're going to do the right thing no matter what. Now, you would hope that the government is going to reward the good and punish the evil. But when the government flips the script on it and starts punishing the good and rewarding the evil, it shouldn't affect your life at all, because you don't go down and do the evil. You just continue doing what's right. And if you suffer for that, well, that's pleasing in the sight of God. And you're not malicious about it. You're not revengeful about, I'm going to show them. No, I'm just going to keep doing what's right to do. And I'm going to keep doing it. I think that's how we have to interpret it, how we look at that scripture. and how it is. Now, if you choose to put on a mask or whatever else they're asking you to go along with, shut down your business, well, that's your personal liberty choice to do it if you want to do it. But understand, you have a right to earn a living. You have a right to provide for your family. You have a right to go and do that. The problem is we have given the government too much power. We have allowed the government into our places of business and sometimes even in our places of worship, our churches. And we've allowed them in whatever way. Many times it's through the money. And I know a lot of inner city. This is what baffles me. How come so many inner city churches in our urban areas across the country? So many of them are so heavily Democrat. I mean, so heavily Democrat. Some of the most racist places in all the world are inner city churches. It's amazing. It completely flies in the face of social activism and Martin Luther King Jr. and all that stuff. Flies in the face of that. And you just wonder, why? Why do they do that? I think a lot of their programs are funded. I remember being at a county council meeting where one of the ladies stood up and said, you know, the reason the preachers from the inner city churches aren't here is because they're all in your back pocket. All their teen programs and their food programs and everything are subsidized. Just go to the county website and you'll see it all. You'll see all the names there. You'll see Catholic churches, Lutheran churches, Baptist churches, Episcopalian churches, you know, Church of God churches. You'll see them all on there because they're taking shekels from the government, so they can't speak up. That's why God bless Terry Hamilton and Jim Robidoux from Lighthouse Legal Ministries. They consistently teach government shekels bring government shackles. Don't do it. And shekels are going to come no matter what. They came to Jesus. They came to Paul. They came to all the disciples. They came to the first century. In all of the centuries up to this point, even to this very day, people are being persecuted for their faith. We've just enjoyed the blessings of liberty that we haven't had to do that. But if we change our government, which we are headed in that direction swiftly, well, you just better settle it now. Settle it right now. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That means he didn't try and talk his way out of it. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You just better committed it. Have firm reliance and a divine protection of God. And pledge to ourselves our lives, our fortunes, and our safety. You're going to lose money. You're going to lose your fortune. Some of you are going to have bank accounts taken away. We're watching it happen. They're talking about that happening with the president already. Sacred honor, lives. People are losing their jobs because they went to a rally in Washington, D.C. that was stoked and provoked by leftists, by communists, and getting blamed on. I thought that's possibly what was going to happen with all the troops there this past week, that they were going to have some type of thing where they would do that. But you just never know. I mentioned this article in the first half hour. It's an op-ed written for the Los Angeles Times. And I don't know if I have the guy's name, so I apologize. Oh, Richard Hughes. It was on the 19th of January he put this out. And the name of it was this, The Ferocious Last Gaps of the Religion of Christian America. And this is the perception. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so when you read these articles by these people, they tell you exactly what they think. And so so let's read this a little bit. It says, Donald Trump's presidency has baffled the majority of Americans for 4 years. Now, does anybody really believe that's true? I mean, look at the rallies that were going around this country. Look at the miles-long rallies, truck rallies, boat rallies. Do you think the majority of Americans for 4 years have really been baffled? Now, here's what they were baffled at. What should we make of decisive Christian support for the American politician whose life and priorities are fundamentally anti-Christian? So right away, you know, this guy has no clue what true biblical Christianity is. None at all. Whatsoever. He has no idea what even truth is to make a statement like that. Because Christians generally speaking, follow truthful principles. So they like to follow people who are fair or just. They have a reverence for truth and honor and justice and those things. And by the way, let me say this. Some of you go to, well, you know, he was married so many times and did this. Yeah, and you got a bunch of skeletons in your closet too. And we believe in redemption. And we believe in that man. We don't judge a man, continue to judge a man by his past, especially if he's changed in his future and in his present. Anyway, it goes on to say, why would elected members of any party support legal maneuvers that would undermine American democracy? Have you heard that phrase a lot? Democracy, democracy, democracy. That's how they're going to justify getting rid of the Electoral College. That's how they're going to justify pushing this through. Well, this is our democracy. This is our democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. At least we did. We'll see if it's still standing. As Benjamin Franklin said, if we can keep it, I doubt we're going to be able to keep it here. Something's got to happen quick, or it's going to be gone completely. But that would undermine American democracy. How could, watch this, how could insurrection against the people's government be configured as patriotism? Well, because you won't acknowledge the fact that Antifa was there, BLM activists were there, and incited it. That's why it started 22 minutes, I believe it was, 22 minutes before the rally was even over. Interesting. Some interesting photos coming out on that too. But here, watch this. It says, as Trump's reign implodes. Now, that tells me a lot what they think about a president. They look, this guy, Richard Hughes, and the LA Times, looks at the president as a king. If they are implying that Trump has a reign, that's telling you they look at the president as a position of monarchy almost, of a kingly position, because they're implicating Trump with that. Now, as Trump's reign implodes, these anomalies betray the last gaps of a long-standing American religion that is now passing away. The religion of Christian America, sustained by a corrupted version of Christianity. He goes on to say, if faith can inspire extremism, a dying belief system can inspire unthinkable deeds, even unthinkable acts of violence, as its adherents attempt to preserve its power, in this case, in the American public square. To be clear, this dying American religion has little or nothing to do with Jesus. So here's a guy who has no idea what truth is whatsoever, cannot recognize anything, and he's going to tell you now what goes on with Jesus, who consistently lifted up oppressed and marginalized people, women, the poor, and ethnic minorities, for example. But everything to do with white patriarchal dominance. And as it dies, it opens up space for new voices that have been marginalized for many years. And there we find fresh hope. Well, you know, the line is pretty distinct. Some of you have found your hope in leftism, communism, which is nothing more than anti-Godism, if we want to form a new word. But some of you have chosen to put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good thing is, if you're willing to repent, see, what is repentance, preacher? It's acknowledging the truth. If you're willing to stop being indoctrinated with error and follow along like a mindless sheep, and you begin to come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. If you're willing to look at the book objectively, not subjectively, and accept it for what it says and believe it, oh, you'll know what true freedom is. You'll know what true liberty is. You'll know what true hope is. Oh, Christianity can never die, not true biblical Christianity, because Jesus is alive forevermore. I want to thank you so much for listening today, and pray for Pastor Al. Be at the Bible study tonight, 7 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Express in Brecksville, 5171 Brecksville Road. Hope that you'll be out there, and Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.